Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. The tax deadline is approaching. Take a small action for your future and talk to your financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Neil, thank you very much for that. Now, this afternoon, Gaza's only power plant ran out of fuel and has been forced to shut down after Israel cut off supplies. Israel continued its bombardment of Gaza today in retaliation for Hamas's incursion, which has left more than 1,000 Israelis dead. Similar numbers have since been killed in Gaza as Israel prepares for a possible ground invasion. Also today, journalists were allowed into Kibbutz Kfar Aza, the Israeli community on the border with Gaza, where people were killed when Hamas broke through the border on Saturday. Infants and children were among the dead there. Well, to discuss the Israel-Hamas war, we're joined now from our Dáil studio by Simon Coveney, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. And in a moment, we'll also be speaking to People Before Profit TD Richard Boyd Barrett. Minister, thank you very much for joining us this evening. I do want to get to that very serious situation in Israel and Gaza at the moment. But just briefly, we might just have a chat about the fallout from yesterday's budget. I don't know if you heard Stephen Kennedy, he was speaking to us earlier. He's the owner of a number of cafes, about small business reaction to what was announced yesterday. He said the budget was tone deaf and out of touch, that has left small businesses with their cost base significantly increased and no real help.
Well, I mean, that's not what I'm hearing from lots of small businesses today who are looking forward to getting some grant aid support in the first quarter of next year. What we wanted to do and what I was asked to do by lots of small businesses was to try to give them supports that wouldn't involve a lot of bureaucracy and form filling and that would allow the government to get funding easily to small businesses. So I have €250 million agreed now to support small businesses for the, you know, increased cost of doing business for many of them. We're going to give them that grant aid in the first quarter of next year through the local authorities on the basis of what companies have paid in their rates bill this year, and we'll give us 50% of what they paid this year up to €20,000. So that's up to €10,000 to businesses without even an application process. Now, I mean, I listened to Stephen, and he was talking about the need to extend the TBES scheme, which was the temporary energy support scheme last year. Like, in total, while TBES was very important, we've spent less than €130 million on TBES. We had about 50,000 applications representing about 30,000 companies. We're now going to be giving out more than €250 million, which is more than twice that figure, to 131,000 companies.
Heard his point that these are once-off supports, which, you know, they're welcome,
but they don't address the
underlying problems. And he pointed again to the VAT rate, for example.
Well, I mean, you know, the VAT rate was extended because people like me and others lobbied hard to make sure that it was extended for as long as possible. But, you know, the VAT rate reduction to 9% for the hospitality sector, you know, wasn't without cost. Like, that cost about €700 million per year. And so if we had extended the VAT rate as a government, that would have been 2/3 of our entire tax package for one sector in the economy. So, I mean, I think that the lower VAT rate was absolutely justified for most of the last 10 years because the hospitality sector is hugely important. It's the most important part, actually, of the Irish economy. It employs a huge number of people, and it's in every town and village in the country. Mm. But I mean, you know, the Department of Finance rightly made the case that this is costing over €700 million a year.
Yeah. And I can understand that it's extremely expensive, and we've had lots of debates in this programme about how it's too expensive. So,
that we'd move away from it.
I understand that, but having said that, we're also hearing from small businesses, and the message is consistent. They are really struggling. The margins are really tight. And one of the things they heard about yesterday in the budget was the minimum wage going up. Now, a lot of them, I know, are very supportive of that. They want to be able to pay their staff well, but you're announcing it in the budget. It's them who has to pay it.
That's true. But I mean, most small businesses are well ahead of us on this. The vast majority of small businesses around the country are already paying their staff significantly more than the minimum wage. But you know, we've also changed the tax system to try to make sure that people's take-home pay is also increased by changes in the tax system as well as increases in wages. But I mean, like, I think most people would recognise that given the cost of living pressures that families and households are feeling, people who are working on the lowest wages – we need to ensure that those people are getting the supports they need for the hard work that they're putting in. And that's why we followed the Low Pay Commission recommendation, which was supported by employers' groups, by the way, to increase the minimum wage. That's what we've done. And I insisted within government that we would have to recognise the fact that for many small businesses across the country, they are seeing a real tightening of their margins because of the increased cost base of doing business. That's why we're putting €250 million back into the pockets of 131,000 small businesses in the first quarter of next year, which is direct payment to respond to the concerns that we've been hearing.
I want to move on to the, as I said, very serious situation in Israel and Gaza. And as a former foreign affairs minister, I'm sure you've been watching it extremely closely. Reporters were allowed in the Kfar Aza kibbutz area, and reports, I'm sure you will have seen, are emerging of massacre, really, in that area.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, before we talk about the, you know, the broader challenges here, like, I do think we have to pause to think about the enormity of what has happened here in Israel. And like, I've been to Israel many times, I've been to Gaza many times and the West Bank many times as well. In fact, you know, I visited that part of the world probably more than any other part of the world when I was foreign minister. I think I was there 6 times or 7 times. And so I'm very familiar with the challenges there. And I've probably been the most vocal EU foreign minister over the last 5 years on the broader Palestinian cause and the injustices that many Palestinians have lived under. But I have to say, what happened and the savagery of what happened when Hamas militants slaughtered unarmed people, many of them whole families, children, women, up to 1,200 of them, that has to be absolutely condemned outright, unreservedly. There is no justification, although some people linked in Irish politics seem to have almost justified that because of the misery of living in Gaza. There is no justification for that kind of terrorism. And I think we have to be clear and unambiguous about that. What is happening now, unfortunately, in Gaza, as Israel responds to that savagery, is also hugely concerning.
I mean, Gaza is a place. Is it time to condemn what is happening in Gaza, but the collective punishment that is being meted out by Israel, in the same way that Hamas is being condemned?
Well, I mean, Israel has a right to defend itself and its people. But of course, Israel is a state that has to abide by international law. And, you know, what we're seeing at the moment is a small piece of land that's 12 kilometres wide and 42 kilometres long. That's it. About 2.2 million people live there and they have nowhere where they can escape to. And that's why we've seen UNRWA, which is effectively UN schools in Gaza, where people have flocked in their hundreds of thousands, bringing their children into UN schools to try and find a safe haven within Gaza.
So should that be condemned, Minister?
Well, I mean, I think what we have to try and do as an international community now is to try and find a way of protecting civilians, to open up humanitarian corridors.
I just wonder why when Russia started targeting civilian infrastructure in Ukraine, the West condemned it outright. It was easy to condemn it because it's breaking international law, not on condemn.
Sorry, it is an entirely different situation, Sarah. What Russia have done in Ukraine is outright aggression, trying to actually take Ukrainian land for Russia. It's an invasion of your neighbour. What Israel is doing is responding to a terrorist massacre of their own people and trying to go after the militants that are responsible for that.
But that's the question, I suppose. That last line is the question. Are they going after the militants responsible, or is this collective punishment?
I think they are going after the militants responsible. The problem with that, though, is that Gaza is such a densely populated place where civilians cannot escape because they have nowhere to go to. They can't escape into Egypt. They can't escape into Israel. And that is why the international community needs to insist on Israel abiding by international law and taking actions to protect civilians.
So when Israel says it's going to impose a siege on Gaza, no food, no fuel, no water, is that abiding by international law?
Well, I mean, I think there is increasing concern now within the UN and also amongst Israel's allies that actually that is something that shouldn't be happening. And that is why you see the US now talking about the potential of opening a safe passage into Egypt for people to escape. And of course, the UN calling for safe humanitarian corridors that are protected into Gaza to get people medicines, food, clean water. I mean, look, I'm a former minister that signed off on spending 14 million euros in Gaza to build a solar farm there to power a desalinization plant. So you know, I mean, having been to Gaza, like life in Gaza for the last number of years has been incredibly difficult for the population there as it was. What we're seeing now, unfortunately, no power, no light at nighttime, and a population with many, many children absolutely terrified as to whether their building could be hit next.
Okay.
And so, and
I
so
just
the
want
international
to ask you very briefly
must,
about aid in terms of the international community, because European Commissioner Olivier Verhelyi has doubled down on commitments that funding to Palestine would be suspended. This is following a rebuttal from the European Commission, which stated that EU funding will continue to Palestinians. What's happening and what's Ireland's role in that, finally, Minister?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that particular commissioner was essentially making decisions that he had no mandate to make. And Joseph Borrell, who's the lead foreign affairs spokesperson for the European Commission, has clarified clearly that EU aid, which represents about 700 million euros to Palestinians, will continue. And so it should, because we don't want to embed even further hardship. What needs to happen is that Hamas needs to be held accountable for what they have done.
Okay.
And Israel is certainly going to pursue them. But the international community must introduce balance to this discussion and must convince Israel that it has an obligation to protect civilians.
All right.
in that effort. And Ireland should support those efforts, and we will.
Minister Simon Coveney, thank you very much for joining us with your thoughts on all of that. We also have Richard Boy Barrett, People Before Profit TD, listening into all of that. Richard Boy Barrett, I wonder just firstly, so we can establish where you're at in this conversation, do you condemn the actions of Hamas at the weekend?
I deeply regret the loss of all life that has been lost in this really terrible and tragic escalation of conflict. But I'm not joining in the dishonest game of double standards that we've just heard from the minister of this country, where he refuses to acknowledge the crimes against humanity and the war crimes that Israel has been visiting on the people of Gaza for 17 years with a siege.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there because I asked you a really clear question. Do you condemn the actions of Hamas at the weekend?
I just said I am not joining in with the double standards game. You didn't pursue the minister about his failure to condemn the crimes against humanity that Israel have been committing, are committing as we speak, by imposing a siege on the entire population of Gaza, but which they've been doing for 17 years, where they've been indicted by every single human rights organization pretty much in the world that has any credibility for ongoing war crimes and crimes against humanity, for ethnic cleansing, for the seizure of Palestinian land, for the killing of Palestinians with impunity, and no sanctions, no condemnation from the European leaders. In fact, we have European leaders and US leaders essentially announcing their support for Israel, promising to arm Israel further. The responsibility...
And that is what I was talking to the minister about, and I was asking him about that condemnation. He was saying that they want Israel to abide by international law, and they're watching carefully to see if Israel will abide by international law.
Watching carefully, but calling for no sanctions.
I do understand your anger, Richard Boy Barrett, but what we're hearing, the reports that we're hearing from that area of southern Israel, is that mothers, fathers, babies and young families were killed in their beds. There was a massacre in a village. I'm asking you, can you condemn that?
I deeply regret any deaths on any side of this terrible escalation. But I also share the views of, for example, the Israeli and Jewish columnist for Haaretz, who wrote yesterday, Gideon Levy, where he said, and I quote, "Israel can't imprison 2 million Gazans without paying a cruel price. If you commit a 17-year long crime against humanity by besieging an entire population...
I'm going to have to stop you right there, because it sounds to me like you're justifying murder. That's what it sounds to me like you're doing.
Absolutely, I'm not justifying murder.
Well,
I don't know what price that you're saying that Israelis...
I think that's an extraordinary thing to say,
and you didn't say that about the minister who refused to call for sanctions against Israel for what it's doing. I mean, we've had a public declaration by the Israeli government that they are going to commit a crime against the Geneva Convention against the entire population of Gaza.
But no call for sanctions. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. That's Richard Boy Barrett.